let's go into the Word. Let's get into Scripture. Let's pray. And let's start. So the text this morning that I'll be talking on, it's going to be 1 Peter 3:18. The book of 1 Peter 3:18. If you can go ahead and open up your Bibles, let's go to that Scripture. And then we'll go ahead and read it. Let me know when you have it by saying amen. And for Christ also suffered once for sin, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. Let us bow our heads. Let's pray real quick. Father, we come before you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for this day, for allowing us to be here, to come together and to worship you and to hear your word. Father God, let it be you and not me. Let it be your voice, your words being spoken forth and instead of me, Father. And let your name be glorified and exalted, and speak to our hearts, speak to our minds, speak to our souls, speak to our lives, Father. We praise you, we thank you, and we glorify your name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I've been thinking about this text, I think, ever since Mike preached last time on a few verses before, when we spoke about the Word of God, and he spoke about being able to be ready to give a defense. And as I was reading just a few verses down, this text captivated me. It captured my heart. It captured my mind. And, you know, as Pastor offered, hey, can you bring the word? And I was like, yes, I think I have a text that God has already put in my heart, that I already been munching and thinking about, and that's been, like, you know, impacting my life. And as I was reading through it, I remember one day, a few weeks ago, I was driving to my dad's house. He lives in West Palm, and I was helping him because he moved, and I was helping him with some stuff in the house and just putting things together and building and whatever. And as I remember on my way there, as I was thinking about this text, as I was, you know, meditating on it, the thought that one day we are going to stand before God inundated my mind. The fact that there will be one day where every believer, you know, in this church and throughout the world, there will be a final day, whether it is, you know, whether you die or whether, you know, Christ comes, but there will be a day where you and I are going to stand before God. There will be a day where you and I, as believers, if we are, you know, followers of Christ, we're not going to be to the left hand of his side in wrath and in punishment. We're going to be to his right hand, and we're going to, you know, be able to see him face to face. This day is going to be the day where the text that we just read will come to its full fulfillment. For at that point, Christ will have finally, completely, entirely have brought every believer before God. He will present us. And as the thought, you know, came upon my mind, I started to tearing up, because I'm like, I will see him face to face. It's no longer going to be, you know, it's stumbling blocks. It's no longer going to be like the Bible says, like we see him through a veil. You know, sometimes we see God and we see dimly, or we see him through shadows, or we see him through, you know, figures or symbolism. No, one that day, you and I will see Christ face to face, like a man spoke to his friends, like a man speaks, you know, like I speak to my wife and I see her face to face, like I speak to my family members and I see them face to face, that I'm able to touch them and feel them and see them fully. That day, you and I will see God face to face. Oh, what a glorious day that'll be. What a glorious day. Like the Bible says, the 24 elders who stand before the throne of God and they sing and they say, holy, holy, holy. The day where you and I will no longer, you know, be able to look at each other as brothers and sisters, you know, in on this earth, in this, fallen world, but we'll be able to see each other for who we truly are, and we'll be able to see God for who He is. Christ died for this. And that will be the day of the biggest fulfillment of every promise He ever made, where He says, I'm going to, you know, make a place for you, and where I am, you can be also. That's going to be the day where, you know, Christ says, I am preparing for myself a bride who is beautiful, and her unveiling is going to be glorious, because it's going to reflect not the wife, it's going to reflect the husband and the work that He did. What a glorious day that will be. To be able to stand before God. And I come to, you know, it comes to mind a song that is in Spanish. That's by, we call him like a poet, a Christian poet. It says, the day that I see you face to face, what will I do? I would just melt down in tears and wipe, you know, fall down to your feet. Solo déjame. It says, only let me see you face to face. He says, I have only one petition when I get to heaven. God, I don't care for my house. I don't care for the mansion. I don't care for the you know, my crown. I don't care for this. I don't care for that. I just want to see you face to face. I just want to see your hands. I just want to see your feet. And there will be a day where we see God like that. But that would not be the first time that man has experienced that type of intimacy. That day was not the first time that man experienced that, because before the falling of man, Adam experienced it. I can only imagine, you know, when God created Adam, and my wife and I, sometimes we see the fallenness of nature and we're like, Adam, you messed it up, man. Like, we see sin, and we see even our own sinfulness and our own struggles, and we see the struggles throughout the world, and we're like, Adam, you messed it up. How can you, who saw God face to face, how can you, who used to walk with God, forget about Him so easily? See, what we'll experience in eternity, Adam experienced it when he was first created. Adam used to walk with God. I mean, we don't know how long the time period before when he is created and the fall. But I would like to give it at least some time period. I mean, it must have taken time for him to name all the animals. That didn't happen within hours. That didn't happen within probably days. So let's say it took him a few months. A few months of you waking up and God is there. A few months of you, you know, walking by and you're speaking with God and He is physically there. And we know that He's physically there because when Adam sinned, what did he do? He hit himself. Why? Because he heard the Lord walking in the cool of the day in Eden. So we know that Adam experienced this intimacy. And we know that Adam experienced this, you know, presence of God. He experienced the fellowship of the Lord. He experienced what it was, you know, to break bread with God. For God to be able to show him and look at the stars. These are their names. Look at the animals. Name them. I give you that authority. Look at the, you know, you can do this, but you cannot do that. Adam, I am here with you in fellowship. I am here with you because I am God, and I'm making myself known to you. See, walking with God is not only reserved for eternity. Man has been here before. He had a relationship that wasn't tarnished by sin. It was not corrupted by, you know, the history of having sin, not manipulated by any emotions. It was a full and free, you know, it was a freedom of a relationship. There was no hurt, there was no wounds, there was no breaking of a commandment, but we know how that ended. You know, we know what happens. We know the story in Genesis 3, specifically 8 through 24. You know, the wife, like I said, this might have been some time after. The wife takes the fruit, gives it to Adam. he also eats. God shows up, and what does man do? We said it. He hides himself. The first thing that man does is he hides himself from God. He hears God walking, and, you know, and God is calling him. It's like, Adam. Oh, Adam. Not that God didn't know. He was just trying to confront man. And he's like, Adam, where are you? I used to see myself in you, and I'm looking around, and I cannot see my image anymore. Adam, where are you? You know, and God, he finally comes out and says, God, I sin. He's like, I hit myself because I ate. He's like, I'm naked. He's like, who told you you were naked? Let's get to the bottom issue. Let's get to the root cause of why you are naked. It's like, why do you know that you're naked? Well, I did this and I did that. And man is confronted, and God finds him out, and he's like, you have sinned. And he, you know, he starts confronting him, and confronts the woman, and confronts the snakes, and the snake. And then he's like, okay, this is your punishment. You shall work, and your labor shall be in pain, and the snake, you shall crawl and eat dust for the rest of your life. These are your punishment. But he does one more thing that, you know, has created a catastrophic event in the heart of man. He banishes man out of the garden. God tells Adam, you are kicked out of my presence. You are kicked out of my communion. You are kicked out. And to make sure you stay out, I am putting an angel and I am putting a sword. You cannot come back in. And that leaves us in the place that we are today. I mean, we see the minute that man is kicked out, he's like, you're going to go back to where you came from. The dirt that you, where you came from, that's where you're going to go now. And man has been trying to get back in ever since then. You know, we see man trying to like please God or create gods and create their own environment. They're trying to recreate an Eden again. You know, you and I, we do it all the time. We buy houses, we try to make them as comfortable as we can, we try to make them as beautiful as we can, we try to decorate them as, you know, and we love sometimes that, I love the garden themes, and I just planted a little garden in the front, it's like, oh, this is beautiful, and sometimes I look at them like, man, I could imagine what Eden was like. We do it all the time. We long for that garden. We long for that communion. We long for that fellowship. So we, in our efforts, try to create and make. Yeah, God reaches out. First, he reaches out through, you know, Abel, and he accepts his offering, and he's out of the picture. Then, you know, later on, he reaches down through Noah, and he's like, Noah, the world has gone wicked. I'm saving you and your family. And they're saved. The rest of the world, it perishes. And later on, he reaches down through Abraham. And he's like, Abraham, everybody's trying to reach down to me, and they cannot find me because they're making idols. They're trying to, you know, come to me their way. They're trying to come to me their methods. They're coming to me through their own, you know, strength and power. But Abraham, I'm picking you. Leave all that and go to the place I will show you. And later on, we see how God reaches down again, and through Moses, in the midst of an idolatrous nation, and idolatrous and people who worship all kinds of creatures and sun and moon and stars, and God shows up and picks Moses. And God tells Moses, there is something I want you to build for me. I want you to build a tabernacle. Because I'm trying to show man the purpose and the reason for which they were made. They were made to go back into my presence. You see, where we are today is we are not where Adam was, and we are not where we will be. We are in the between of then and what shall be. We are in the now. We are fallen creatures who have, you know, tried to go after God for so many things, and we go and try to go after God in our own ways, our own methods, our own ideas. Yet the Bible says that you and I cannot do it ourselves. See, we were lost in sin. We were lost in the depravity of our own sinful nature. But the Bible says that Christ came. He didn't come, and as I was meditating on this text, he's like, he did not come to make you a better church person. He did not come so that you can come to church more. He did not come so that you can know how to, you know, stop singing worldly music and now sing Christian music. He didn't come so that you could pray more. He did not come so that you could fast, so that you could do all the things that we sometimes, you know, force and teach people to do. The Bible says that he came to bring you to God. He came so that you and I can have a relationship, a fellowship with God again. He did not come, you know, the Bible says in the book of Acts, it's like the God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. He made from one man every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth, having determined their allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling places, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. And even as some of your own poets have said, for we are indeed his offspring. Christ didn't come. And you know, sometimes we think of it as like, okay, like, I need to pray more. I need to, like, you know, read the Bible more. And I'll get to it. Don't get me wrong. Those are things that we need to do. But those are not an end in itself. You don't pray so that you can have a better prayer life. You pray so that you can know God better. You don't read the Bible so that you can, you know, check off your Bible reading plan or say, hey, I read the Bible today. I feel good about myself. Good job, Alberto. You read scripture so that even Jesus himself said it. He's like, you search scripture because you think they give you eternal life, but they speak of me. You go through the Bible. You know, we come to church not because we want to be good churchgoers. No, the reason you come and fellowship is so that we can, as a body, as a corporate, as a union, get to know God better. You were made for this. I mean, sometimes we like Pastor says, we have major and the minors. We have put so much focus on what it is to be a Christian that we have forgotten that what it is to love and have fellowship with God. We have focused so much and as a church, as living in the United States, we are so comfortable. But there are people out there who are dying every day for the cause of the gospel. And they might have only one page of the Bible who read it every day and they love it because that's how they know God. Church, don't get me wrong. I'm not here to tell you don't pray. I'm not here to tell you not to read the Bible. I'm not here to tell you not to, you know, come to church and fellowship. I'm not here to tell you not to do those things. But I want you to realize that the purpose of those things are not an end in themselves. I don't want you to spend the rest of your life coming to church, reading your Bible, you know, praying and missing God altogether. I mean, we see it in scripture when Jesus tells his disciples, you know, he gives them that parable. He's like, in that day, many will come to me and say, Lord, in your name we prophesied, in your name we prayed, in your name we did all these things. And God will say, I don't know you. You spend too much time doing those things that you forgot about me. And sometimes, you know, we tend to do that. We tend to focus so much on, I need to do this, I need to do that. I have to be, you know, as a believer, I have to give and we focus on all these things and we forget that the whole purpose of Christ coming, the whole reason that he came, the whole, you know, goal for which he died, is to bridge that gap, to, you know, to break, you know, the veil, to let men know that, hey, you and I have access back to God. He came so that you can have fellowship with Him again. He came so that you can enjoy Him again. And like I said, maybe not fully like, you know, we did back then or how we will one day, but you can enjoy God today. You don't have to wait for eternity. You don't have to, you know, wait or reminiscing on what would have been for Adam. You can enjoy God today. As a matter of fact, that is the purpose for why you were created. It is the catechism, I think it is the I don't know which specifically, but one of the main catechism or the shorter catechism says, what is the chief end of man? And the answer is the chief end of man is to enjoy God, to worship God and enjoy Him forever. Your goal, your purpose, the reason that God created you is so that you can enjoy Him. But what do? We tend to fill our lives with so many other things. You know, we tend to say, oh, this is fun, so let me do this for a little bit. And I know it from my own life experience. You know, something is fun. I like a show. I like a television. I watch it. And I'm like, oh, this is fun. This is nice and enjoyable. I can't wait for the next episode to come out. You know, I'm a Blacklist fan. So I'm like, man, I found out yesterday the next episode won't be till January. So I'm like, man, it's, you know, I can't wait till January so I can watch the next episode because it's really... It's very dramatic. But at the end of the day, when I'm done watching the show, I'm like, I'm not fulfilled. It doesn't satisfy my soul. It's only when you come into the presence of God. It is only when you can see God in prayer, through the Word, in fellowship with one another. It's only when you do those things that your soul is satisfied, that your soul is happy, that you find joy within yourself. So yes, we must pray. Yes, we must read the Bible. Yes, we must fellowship, but don't make those your God. Don't make those things your end. They are the means by which we enjoy fellowship and communion with God. See, this year has been a little crazy for all of us, and we just celebrated Thanksgiving. And if there's one thing that we always should be thankful for, is for the fact that Christ came. Christ came. In the midst of darkness, the Roman Empire had taken over. In the midst of all the craziness that was going in the world, the light of God appeared. And He reached down through the darkness of humanity, and He showed up, He came, and He took the biggest, you know, obstacle that separated you and I from God. He took your sins that demanded a curse, your sins that demanded wrath, your sins that demanded punishment. He took it away. He took away your guilt that, you know, kept you in your shame, that kept you far from God and said, I cannot get close to Him because of look at what I've done. Jesus Christ took that away. You know, He took away your own shame, your own, you know, weaknesses. He took away your sinful nature and He nailed it to the cross. And all of that was to bring you once again to God. All of that was so that you and I could enjoy God. All of that was so that you and I can have fellowship once again with God. Like I said earlier, I don't want this. I don't want myself. I don't want my family. I don't want you as my church family to go through the life, you know, enjoying prayer and word because we think that that's an end in itself. I don't want you to think that, hey, you know what? I checked my list and I'm okay. I'm a Christian. When you don't enjoy the reason those things God gave them to us, those graces that He gave us, when you don't enjoy the presence of God Himself. What is the point of prayer? What is the point of reading the Bible if you have missed God altogether? What is the point of even coming here to sing if you don't even know the God for which you are, that you're singing to? You know, what's the point of teaching our kids pray and read the Bible and go to church? Because that's a good thing to do. When in the end, you don't teach them to know the God that made those things possible. And you don't teach them to enjoy that God and to have communion with that God and fellowship with that God. Jesus Christ came, as the Bible says, the righteous for the unrighteous, the just for the unjust, the perfect for the imperfect, the holy for the unholy, the pure for the impure, the good for the bad. He suffered that he might bring us to God. As I land this plane, and I'm sure it was a short preaching, but it's Thanksgiving weekend, so I'm okay. As I land this plan, how can we apply this to our life today? How can we take this and apply it to our life? And I got just a few questions. Like, where are you in your life today? What's your life about? What do you live your life for? You know, what is the goal of your life? What is the purpose for which you are living? We are now about to enter the last month of the year, and a lot of us, we sit down and evaluate our life and we do resolutions for next year. But as this year has ended, what has your life been about this year? What do you, why do you do what you do? Why do you read your Bible? Why do you pray? Why do you come to church? Do you do it because you have an obligation? Do you do it because you like, hey, I go to church because other people might talk about me. And if I don't go, what would they say? Do you come because you are maybe like a leader and you have to come, otherwise I'll lose my leadership? Some people go to church because that's their only place they go to on Sundays. It's true. Some people come because of friendships or family. But why do you read your Bible? Is it because you're trying to do a checklist and okay, I need to do this because this is what I'm supposed to do, this is what I have to do? But you're not really enjoying the God who wrote the scripture? Why do we do the things that we do? That would be my first question and my first, how do I apply this? Is like, examine your hearts, examine your life, and realize, why do I do what I do? Why am I, why do I do the Christian things that I do? Is it because I'm trying to know God, or is it because I... whatever, X, Y, Z. Are you enjoying the fellowship with God? You as a believer, myself as a believer, we have full access to the presence of God. You can come boldly, the Bible says, before the throne of grace. As a matter of fact, it is insulting to God that he paid the price for you to have fellowship with him and you don't come to him. It's like, imagine myself, I pay for this full, for someone to go on a full vacation or for someone to do this amazing, go to this amazing concert or event, and they're like, no, I don't want to go. Like, I pay for it. It's free. Just enjoy it. Just go. Just show up. Just be there. It's yours. Are you and I enjoying the presence of God? Not just in this, thoughtful way of like, yes, I know I'm seated with him, but no, like enjoying in your emotions, in your soul, in your heart, in your spirit, in your flesh, that I'm like, I have fellowship with God. Not just a thought of what it is, but the reality of his presence. Christ came to die for sinners. And since Christ came, man has access to God. The question is, are you coming to him? Or are you staying far away? We pray, we read the Bible, we fellowship, we enjoy God's bounty in creation. But realize that none of those things are meant to be an end in themselves. All the things that God has given us, all those graces, the fellowship, the prayer, the Bible, are meant to point us and to bring us to fellowship with God. I don't want you to leave here and be like, I'm going to stop reading the Bible. No, that's not the point. The point is, change your attitude when you come to read the Bible. It's not about just checking it off. It's about knowing the God who wrote the scripture, the God who is the Word of God. When you come to prayer, it's not just, Lord, I need to, this is my list, this is my, you know, my five petitions, and I'm going to do the three steps to, you know, repentance, and the two steps of petition, and the three steps to worship and praise. No, no, you're coming to have fellowship with your Father. Come and talk to Him. And yes, you might need a guide of how to talk to Him, but as your relationship develops and grows, and as your relationship, you know, continues to mature, come and you'll be able to sit at His feet just like Martha was. And He's like, Lord, I want to talk to you. Lord, I just want to spend time with you. Lord, I just want to know you. What are your thoughts? What are you like? You know, what are your emotions? Tell me who you are. Show me. Walk with me as you did with Adam. You can enjoy today, and you can start enjoying today what one day you will enjoy in eternity. That way, the moment you go from this life to next, it will not be a dramatic change. It will not be a drastic change like, what do I do now? No, you have already been walking with God all your life and enjoying His presence. Because at the end of the day, Jesus Christ died. The righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you and I to God. Let us pray. And if anybody would like the leadership to pray, you're more than welcome to come to the front and we'll pray for you. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your kindness and your goodness. Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you pay. Thank you, Father, for your mercy and your grace and for bringing us to God. Thank you, Lord, because in Adam we all sin. In Adam we all fail and we were banished from your presence. But in Christ, you have made a way. You tore the veil. And we can come to the holies of holies and sit at your feet and enjoy your presence. We can come before the throne of grace and behold the glory of God and behold you sitting on the throne. Thank you, Father, because this is not just a fantasy. This is not just a thing of the apostles. This is something that we as your church can enjoy. We can enjoy your presence. As a matter of fact, we were made, our hearts were made to enjoy you, O Lord. So I pray that you will work in our hearts, work in our minds, work in our soul, work in our hearts, and put in us that hunger, put in us that truth, and that we would enjoy your presence. For in your presence there is fullness of joy. We thank you, Lord, and as we leave this place, as we go about our weeks, as we are beginning to descend the plane of 2020 this year, Lord, we ask that we would, you know, take stock of our life, take an account of our lives, and we would be able, Father, to you know, drop the things that are preventing us from knowing you more, and do more of the things that allow us to enjoy your presence even more, Father. Forgive us our sins. Forgive us our transgressions. Forgive us for all the times that we have gone and look, Father God, like Jeremiah said, that we have forsaken you and created broken cisterns that hold no water at all. Lord, we are thirsty and we can only find satisfaction when we drink from you. We thank you and we praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.